You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas with a Hot Texas Swing Band, our friend Alex Dormont.
And we are the true, real, only authentic hosts of the only real, true podcast by the name of Rendezvous with a Writer on LA Talk Radio. We're the real deal, aren't we?
We are. Have you been getting a few bogus emails, have you?
Yes, sometimes they drive me a little bit bonkers, and then sometimes I just have to laugh. And to you that are watching or listening and sort of for the first time, you may not know about all these crazy scam and hoax emails that writers and songwriters and sort of the world are getting in their inboxes. So we are the real hosts, though, Jim and Bobby Jean Bell. And you know what else?
We don't charge any money.
Yeah, we don't charge any money. But we just want to say, today is our 44th anniversary.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And we're doing something we love with all of you. We are talking books with two good friends. Who's our guest tonight?
We have Nick Whale of Dusty Saddle Publishing Company. And we have Jeff Crawford.
Yeah.
One of our favorite authors. And he's going to be talking about, and particularly tonight,
yes.
Tom Horn.
Yes.
And No Prize Above Truth.
Yes. Two books tonight. Yeah. Two. So, hello, gentlemen. We'll say hello to Nick first. Hello, Mr. Whale. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm terrific. I'd like to say hello to Alfred Wallen, who's listening in. He's excited to be on the show in the future, and he's going up especially to see the show. So,
yes.
Hello, Alfred. How you doing?
Yes. Well, hold up his book. Yes. He's with
That's
us
right.
July 23rd. Hello.
Hold it, plenty, awesome. So people buy it.
It's one of the Kennedy series, and I'll just see if I can get it in the camera real good. There we go.
Biggest selling series by a German author in America, that is, in the Western business.
Oh, and let's see, Jeff Crawford is with us. Hello, Jeff, coming back for a third time. Hopefully he'll come back next year for number four. How are you tonight, Jeff?
I'm just fine, and I knew it, but I forgot to say it. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. You know, when you and I, Jeff, were looking at dates a while ago, you know, and we knew this book was coming in May sometime, and we had the 14th open. And I said, you know, Jeff, there isn't anybody we'd rather share this evening with than you and your publisher. Very, very special to have you both with us.
Who said that, anyway?
Yeah, we're like, oh, May 14th, it's Jeff's.
Well, it's always great to visit with old friends. And
I get
to talk with Nick fairly often, but it's great to talk with you guys again, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see, Nick, where are you joining us from?
Well, Leicester, England at the moment. Leicester, England, right in the middle of the map, right in the middle of the country.
Ah, because we were saying
we were wondering where we were.
If we wanted to go and see Nick, where would we get our plane tickets to, you know, get in there? So
you land at Heathrow, real easy. You get off the plane, then you get on the train, and you just come down 1 hour, and you're in the middle of the country, and it's very easy.
There you go.
We just have to line up a couple hosts and we'll be there.
That's it. You could do it on the plane.
Maybe. Yep. Sam, our amazing engineer, we could probably figure that out.
I think you could.
Jeff, where are you tonight?
I'm still in Western North Carolina, and right in between Asheville and Charlotte at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains.
Got it.
Beautiful location. And Jim, where are we tonight?
Well, I'll tell you. I tell you, folks, where are we broadcasting from? Well, I'll tell you. Our author, Jeff Crawford, invited us on a hunting trip. He told us that we could go after bears or frogs. Frogs seemed safer, but if we got to tell us that we would be heading to the swamp, where there would be lots of alligators and poisonous snakes. So, here we are in the Wyoming wilderness hunting for bears. I sure hope we don't find one.
Well, Jeff, we've learned that bears let you know because they kind of are smelly. And you often will know, at least the bear we're going to be talking about later, you would know that he was nearby, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not bashful about bears are neat. They can hide in plain sight if they want to, is even as big as they are. But, you know, if they're in that mood where they don't care, they just don't care. You know, they'll let you know they're there. Bears are fascinating animals.
Well, it's,
and they run pretty fast, right?
Almost as fast as I do.
Well, let's see. Do you, Jim, do you want to tell us a little bit about Nick and a little bit about Jeff? And we can get into a little more stimulating conversation.
Nick Whale. With Dusty Saddam Publishing, Nick Whale was invited to build a company from scratch. Through his network, he picked a formidable team of authors, building DSP into the largest independent Western publishing company in America. Known as a tireless advocate for hard work, achievement, and opportunity, under his mixed guidance, Dusty Saddle Publishing has expanded to other genres, has a fast-growing audiobook wing, and has several movie projects in the works.
Yeah, welcome, Nick.
Sounds about right. Okay. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
We are always delighted. I think this is your second time, and who knows? You know, we may have you on again.
Maybe.
Okay. Jeff Crawford was born in Western North Carolina and raised in Central Florida. He was a cowboy as a profession in his late teens, then moved into raising thoroughbreds and Charolais cattle. He now runs a family business and writes suspense novels in various genres. 64 novels to date and still typing. Welcome, Jeff.
Welcome, Jeff. So, Jeff, the last time you were on, we basically used the same bio, but you'd written 60 books. And the first time you were with us, you'd written 56 books. And the first time was just in 2025. It wasn't all that long ago. And we talked about the Micah series. So, Micah Gold, so 10 books. So, Nick, Jeff is a prolific and fast writing writer, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is. He's one of the best for turning them out, and he's got a talent for it. And the thing about Jeff is you always know you're going to get a good story. I mean, he's one of the best going. Yeah. I mean, benchmark of DSP quality.
Yeah, you are always going to get a good story. So let's see, it's the first time we've had both of you on together. So how did you meet? How'd that come about?
Oh, Jeff, do you want to tell the story or shall I?
Well, I had written my 11th novel and I was done. I was going to quit because I couldn't give one away. I really couldn't. And I decided I was going to go fishing instead of writing. And I saw a message from a writer that I knew of, just didn't know, named Harvey Wood. And it was one question. It said, can you write a horror story? And I thought, why not answer it just for fun? And I said, yeah, I can do that. I've written a couple of fairly scary books. And he messaged me after that. He said, you need to write one as soon as you can and get it to us. And I said, I'm done. I'm not writing anymore. He said, you go write one more. He said, do it and send it to us. So I spent the next 2 months writing what I thought was a horror book. I didn't know. He didn't tell me any particulars of what they wanted. And I took a line from a Stephen King book that was a favorite of mine, and I used it as an inspiration for the story. And I sent it to him, and 6 days later, I got an email that says, when would you have time to meet with us? And about 4 minutes into the conversation, a woman there had told me she had already read the book three times, and she was throwing a contract at me. She said, "We've got to have a series out of this story." And I said, I don't know how to write a series. I've never done that. And she said, it's time to learn. We need a series." And that turned into from three books to six books. And then they gave me a chance at another three book series and a co-write. And I don't know what happened after that, but it's been 30 or something, 40 books after that. Yeah. And they're still taking a chance on me.
All right. Well, let me ask again, how did they find you, Sirwood?
They didn't. They sent out a general question to anybody in the world that would answer, and I was just lucky enough to have seen it. And okay. And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And that opened up a conversation. And you know, anybody that has a real problem with me, they need to pick on Harvey Wood instead of me.
Nick, is there anything you'd like to add to that story?
Well, Harvey's a very good friend of mine. He's a Midlander like I am, and he always has a good eye for talent. He's picked quite a few, and he was very smart when he got Jeff. But yes, I remember that. That was like Star Search for Western authors. It was pretty funny. You know, it was an interesting. Yeah, we went around and we signed all. I mean, we just had this massive 2019, and we were looking for new talent, and we were lucky that Jeff came our way. I mean, you can't get better than Jeff. I mean,
Yeah,
it's a very fortuitous thing, because the company had tripled in size over that year, so we wanted to sign the best and the biggest. So we went ahead and we signed, I don't know, 100 authors or so. And they all turned out very successful. It was a very, very, it was a very exciting time. But Jeff has been very prolific over the last few years. And, you know, rightly so, he's had a number of bestsellers.
Yeah. So, Nick, go ahead. Did you have a question for Nick?
Well, I was going to say, how many authors do you have in your stable?
Oh, 340, I think.
Oh, my gosh. So, do you launch a book a day?
We do three books a day sometimes.
Three books a day sometimes.
Well, we just finished a big campaign of doing three box sets per day. It was a big strategy we just finished off. We wanted to start the year with a big statement, so we did three box sets per day, put them on the market just to keep, you know, just to be dominant. It's the DSP team is so efficient, you can do those kinds of things. It's an unusual thing in our business because normally you get one book a week or two books a week.
Yes.
DSP can, you know, between 30 or 40 employees, you can get anything done.
Wow. So tell us, for our listeners that maybe haven't been on with you and the America 250 series, any of those books we've done so far, can you just tell us a little bit about how America 250 sort of was born and what readers can anticipate in that series?
Yeah, little Scott McCrae and I got together last year and we wanted to do something to celebrate the birthday of America. So we sat down and we thought we'd do this America 250 series with one new book coming out every month throughout the year, celebrating an American hero. And nobody else was doing anything. Patriotism seems to be out of fashion. So we decided, well, you know, the folks at home love patriotism. We love it, so we're going to do it. So we picked the best writers, Bob Vardiman and Jeff and Charles Ray, and we put together these books, and they've been very successful. We've been doing one a month, every 15th of the month, and they've been coming out and being very successful with the readership. Shows you that the readers at home are patriotic still. You know, it's a very important project, and of course it will build as the year goes, because of course we're coming to the big celebration in July, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And we tried to pick a wide variety of authors, all talking about writing about different historical characters. And it's been very successful for us. It's been very successful. Yeah. Of course, a lot of those books are now being picked to be turned into full novels and series as well, because I just greenlit three series based on those books. So it's going to be an interesting project. And I think that the authors did a really good job on it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. So we talked before, there's not been a lot of chatter here in the States about the 250 program. You know, it's like, when? How long ago? What are we talking about? So I think it's kind of unique that we got a company in the UK is celebrating 250 years of America's independence when we were kind of feisty with you guys way back 250 years ago.
Oh, we don't hold it against you. I mean, you know, what's losing one country when you've got the rest of the world? You know, if you think about it, you know, it always makes me smile because we lost the Americas and gained India. You know, mm-hmm. So it's yes, you know, who's worried about it? Who's worried about it?
Oh my gosh! Let's see. So tonight, we're going to be talking in great length with two of Jeff's books. We'll be starting though with the one that is from the America 250 series, and I know there's a lot of light. We've been trying to get more light on the show, and so I see reflective challenges here. But this is America 250, book number 5, Tom Horn, Setting Cheyenne Back to Right. So tell us a little bit about why Tom Horn is one of the 12, if you would, maybe Nick. And then how did it come about that this was this assigned to Jeff? Or Jeff, did you say, I want to write that one? Or how did it come about that that Jeff's the writer for this particular individual?
Well, I remember I sat in a meeting with 12 authors and I said, we're going to do this America 250 program and you're going to pick a historical figure and you're going to write it. I didn't give any mandate on it. I just let the authors pick who they wanted to write about. They could have written about anybody, Teddy Roosevelt, Jim Bowie, whoever. Casey Nash did, of course. And all I did was throw out that we wanted this. We wanted it to be, you know, good stories celebrating patriotic American literature. And that was it. And Jeff chose Tom Horn. And off he went with Tom Horn and made a success out of it. But, you know, I didn't give much direction on the matter. I mean, between you and I mean, I'm not an American, so it's not my job to tell an American author who to write about when it comes to American history. You know, all I did was said this is a big celebration. And Jeff picked well. And Tom Horn was, it's a good book. It's a really good book.
It's a really good book. It's a very enjoyable read. So Jeff, very quickly, and then we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be more in depth. How was it to write Tom Horn? Did you, what did you think about as you put this story, you crafted this storyline?
It was frightening at first because I don't know, there's 60, 80, 100 books written about Tom Horn. And I wanted to be very careful not to, you know, try and put myself in league with those guys because it wasn't that kind of a book. So I wanted to be true to the character, true to his nature, true to the timeline, and then write a book that I wanted to write, give an adventure that I would like him to have had. And that's where the road diverged from reality. And turned into a piece of fiction, and I hope it's enjoyable to people. But to begin with, it was scary. It was really scary because I'd never done anything quite like this before.
Yeah, we are excited to get into the book, so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. And I hope you both are having as much fun as we are.
I am.
Are you a writer? Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are waiting to assist you. And here's a special offer created just for you. We took advantage of it and so glad that we did. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of the song, Back to Cheyenne. And then we will begin our in-depth look at the first of Jeff's books from the America 250 series. We'll be talking about Tom Horn, setting Cheyenne back to right. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Late last night, I felt the call, leaned against the bedroom wall, swore I heard the prairie wind blowing, blowing, Went outside to sniff the air. Couldn't smell Wyoming there. Wiped away a lonesome tear and thought about Cheyenne. Shining stars hide lonesome plains. Coyote cries and distant trains. Everything that's in my heart is calling, calling. Downtown streets and country lanes. Feelings too hard to explain. I need my home on the range. I'm headed to Cheyenne. It's written just for me, with the melody that leads back to Cheyenne, one place in the world that suits me best. Back to Cheyenne, the legendary crossroads of the West, like some pioneer from way back when. The road leads to Wyoming once again. Back to Cheyenne.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Running with the Writer. We're talking with Nick Whale and Jeff Crawford at Dusty Saddle Publishing. You've just heard Back to Cheyenne, written and performed by John Chandler. He is really good.
He's really good.
This is from his new album, Ghost Smoke. And as I understand from the book, and the way I take it from the book, from the story, Tom Horn was called back to Cheyenne, sort of, too, wasn't he? Well, to Wyoming, I should say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, Jeff, here we are with this fabulous book. And when you were reviewing his life, how did you decide which part of his life to concentrate on, which you bring to life so beautifully in this story?
Well, I looked at it every major milestone that he had, whether it was being a cowboy or a mule packer, a stagecoach driver, or, you know, and the list went on and on. When he worked for the Pinkertons, when he rodeoed, he did a lot of wonderful things before he started doing some questionable things. And I had to find a spot in there where it looked like he had some room to do something different. I couldn't just squeeze it in. And I wanted to find a spot where it looked like a person might be tired, need a break. Mm-hmm. So he had been a mule packer and a civilian scout for Al Sieber as they were chasing the Apaches. And, you know, it didn't really come to anything much. And then the next big milestone was him working for General Miles, and where they eventually caught up to Geronimo. And I said, that's a good place to put this story in between. Let him have a break. Let him think about what he's going to do, what he has done. And I was going to give him some rest. And when he got to Cheyenne, his plans changed. You know, somebody else had something in mind for him.
You know, you take some inspiration from somebody for a little bit of the personality of Tom.
I do. One of my favorite movies is actually the movie Tom Horn with Steve McQueen. And there was some realism in there, and there was some artistic range that the people took with that one. But the smart alecky attitude that Steve McQueen brought to that film was so much fun that I said, well, you know, I'm going to steal that. And I let my Tom Horn in this book be a little bit of a smart mouth. I thought it was made for fun dialogue.
Mm-hmm. He's you, the author, you know, readers, we follow the author. At some point, we forget that we're even reading. We're so immersed in what we're reading. But you give us a lot of little details about him. He's observant, isn't he? He'd be like a Sherlock, very observant,
very
discreet. He doesn't really draw attention to himself, does he? I mean, if he can avoid it, you know.
Well, you know, if you're scouting and you're tracking, as he was doing the Apaches, you know, you have to be almost invisible. You have to see every detail, and you don't want to be seen at all. So he had learned to do that. And I think it had just become second nature to him. You know, he did it without even thinking anymore. You know, there's a line in the book where if he was in a city, he wouldn't have any idea what was going on around him, but he could be in the middle of a desert and know what was going on for 50 miles. You know, it's just it just became his personality to be that observant.
I know you have a question.
He was very observant and a good tracker. You know, talking about his kind of smart alecky attitude, you know, the sheriff was trying to approach or pitch a proposition to Tom where he could help him out, and at the end of every sentence, practically, Tom gives him a hard time. I'm surprised that the sheriff didn't lock him up.
He does.
Well, he would eventually. He would 20 years later. he just didn't right then. Instead, he offered him a piece of hard candy. But I think that goes back to them having a little bit of a friendship and an understanding of each other. And mainly because the sheriff had to put up with it because he knew he needed the help. You know, you'll put up with a lot of smart mouth from somebody that you need help from. And I think that's what was going on there.
Yeah. Well, you as the writer, of course, you said it in Cheyenne, which is a real town. But it was fun. We had some properties. There's the Albatross Inn or whatever, you know. I kind of went looking. It's like, no, that's not a place in Cheyenne. So, Jeff, you the writer, what are some of the steps that you take when you're looking at settings and business names and things like that?
Well, I'll look at if I'm going to set this in a town, and first thing I'll do is I'll say, okay, was there an Albatross Hotel in 1882 or whatever in Cheyenne? No, there was a Anvil Hotel or whatever, but there was no Albatross. Okay, I can use that. Or was there a Twin Falls, Ohio? No, there's one in Pennsylvania, but there's not, you know. So once I know that I'm not going to step on anybody's toes and make somebody mad, then I'll just go ahead and do whatever I want. But I'm real careful about those things. I don't want to besmirch history for the sake of writing fiction.
I know you have a question.
Well, I gotta say, we create some interesting characters, and a couple of these guys are really kind of on the evil side. Will Perkins, Clark Goforth.
Yeah, those are the guys that I refer to constantly as the wolves, because they move like wolves. They run as a pack, and they do bad things in this town, and bad to the extent that people are afraid to say anything about it, because they know it could get worse. You know, that's a bad position for people to be in when you can't cry out for help, because it'll get worse before the help gets there.
Yeah.
When you're like that, you're the same as an injured animal, and that's when the wolves come. They know they've got you. So that's sort of the mentality these guys had.
Yeah. And one of the things we learn about Tom is he's very direct, isn't he? I mean, if you're in his line of fire, and he's not discreet and he's not subtle, he'll just tell you like it is. And he kind of looks out for the little guy, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He doesn't like people being picked on. He didn't mind picking on people, but didn't like to see it happening to other people.
Sure.
he'll pick on people, but he doesn't like to see it happening to them. And when it happens to a man that's below average height and can't defend himself against these guys, Tom sort of takes it personally, you know, and decides to be this guy's best friend, even though the little fella doesn't really want it.
Yeah.
He decides to be his guardian angel.
Yes. Yes. We're talking about Bryant Hanover and all the scenes with Bryant are just, they're just delightful to read. And there's another, no spoiler alerts, but we have another couple. We have Charles Miller and his wife, Pearl. Just tell us a little bit about them, and then we're going to take our second break.
Yeah, he was the guy behind all of the trouble in Cheyenne. And the, nope, I was about to say, and the twist is, but I'm not going to. But it's fun to read how he came about. Mm-hmm. And what makes it sadder that he's doing all this is that he has a wife that is referred to often as delightful, yeah, who has no idea that her husband is doing these things.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a heartbreak.
Yeah. Mr. Nick, before we go to a break, is there anything you'd like to say about this book? Anything, any comment?
Well, I think it's a great book, and it's a great book, and it's a great story, and it's written by a great author, and it sold a lot of copies. It's brilliant. That's what I have to say.
Go get it.
What else?
Go get it. And buy all the rest of Jeff's books.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, 56. What did we say? 56? Wait, no, 60. What?
64.
And in another week, I bet you, Jeff, though, you'll be at 65. Oh. Right, Nick?
He's got another book coming. I mean, between now and the 12th of Never, he's got another book coming out. It's going to be an interesting one. It's even going to have a cover.
Yeah.
We're going to step away for just a moment to tell you about one of the places you can order books from many of our author guests. Find them on their books on our Out West Shop affiliate page at bookshop.org. And when we come back, we'll hear a little bit of another song, Men of the Mountains, and we will follow mountain man Ezra Whitehall into the Teton Mountains when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
I study the ways of the mountain men. As a red-tailed hawk circle high upon the breeze, I listen to their voices on the wind. I came to Cache Valley where the Bear River runs. There I made my first rendezvous. Saw a red-tailed hawk circling beneath that western sun. I knew I'd found my home pure and true. So when it comes my time and the good Lord calls my name, I'll tell you right where I want to be. Lay me down in the middle near the shadow of the Rockies. Let that red-tailed hawk keep watch over me.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We just heard Man of the Mountains, performed by our friend Jim Jones. It's a co-write with Bruce Huntington, and we've known Bruce a long time. It's from Jim's album, Heading Home.
It's the perfect song to introduce the next book.
It is. No prayers about truth.
Yes. Okay. So since Jeff was with us the last time, and he was on with Manuela Schneider the last time, he started a new series. This is book one of it. What's the name of that first book there, Jeff?
Death Stops the Tetons.
There you go. Book one. And then book two is the one we're going to talk about in great detail tonight. No Prize Above the Truth. Before we get into the book, Jeff, do you want to talk a little bit about the series and who's Ezra and how many more books might we see?
That one you'll have to ask Nick about. I don't know. He just tells me what to write and I write it. he says, this is what the readers want. So you go get busy.
That's right. Crocodile.
We had finished the Micah Gold series and I had done the Tom Horn book. And I said, I don't know. What do you want, Nick? What am I supposed to write next? I don't know. I'm out of gas. And he said, no, let's go back and do a Mountain Man thing. He said, you haven't done that in a while. Doc Hatcher was a moderate to good success. So he said, let's try to capture lightning in a bottle again. So, I started writing, Death Stalks the Tetons, and, I got to the third chapter before I introduced the main character. And as soon as I did, I knew I had found something that I was going to enjoy writing about. The Micah Gold thing was great and it was fun, but I was excited about doing the Ezra Whitehall, and I hadn't been excited in a little while. But Ezra was and continues to be a lot of fun to write about.
Yes. And it's really the one. Now we're just going to shift into the second book in the series, which we read, No Prize Above Truth. And, it's a riveting read. It's an adventure. And you call them. It's a story. These are adventure stories.
They're very enjoyable books.
Yeah. And this one, the reader's just getting going. And Ezra's horse, Jim, is doing something that gets Ezra's attention. And Ezra's another very observant character, isn't he?
yeah. If you're gonna live, year round in those mountains, you're gonna have to pay attention to everything, because it's the difference between life and death a lot of that time. And he notices his horse acting unusual, and it takes him a few minutes to figure out what's going on, and he understands why the horse is upset, because he's getting to see an eclipse. And he had only seen one in his lifetime. And, and all he could think about was, I wish I was higher up so I could see a wide span of this, when he should have been thinking, okay, this is going to be bad news. Things like this don't come along just for fun. Something bad's going to happen. He should have thought of that, but he didn't. He was looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I think it's just a couple pages later that he looks down and what does he see on the ground?
Bear tracks, looking back at me, as Johnny Horton said. He sees a bear track unlike anything he's ever seen. It's massive. And
massive.
And that begins something that he will wish to his dying day he had ignored. But he didn't, and it gave us a good story.
He sure did. One of the things that I really liked about Ezra is he's very thoughtful, pensive. He thinks things through. He's not a man of impulse. He acts with urgency when it's called for, but he's kind of a planner, and he sits down after he sees that paw print and he starts to think about the reasons that one would go after or track an animal, why a hunter will decide to track an animal. And he kind of takes us through four thoughts, and not being a hunter, I found that very interesting. And Jeff, we know you do hunt, and you have been a bear hunter. And I wondered if some of your experiences of doing that has informed this story and and the thoughts, I wondered if you would just take a moment and share, if you remember them, sort of the four things that he thinks about when he's deciding what to do next.
Yeah, the neat thing about that is that rule was in place in the 1780s, and it's in place in 2026 to 98-99% of all hunters. There's really only four real reasons why you would ever track down and try to kill an animal. One, you're going to eat it. You're going to, you know, you use that to sustain yourself. Two, you make a living off of that animal in some way. And in this case, he used he killed animals, tracked them, trapped them, and hunted them for their hides, and he traded that for his provisions to keep him going. The next is in self-defense. I'm lucky. I've never had to do that, Jim. I came close. And it turns out I was standing there with an empty rifle, and I just got lucky. But the fourth is when you see an animal that needs it because it's been injured or it's sick. So those are the four reasons you would do that. But none of those four reasons applied, but he decided to do it anyway. You know, it was all for, you know, I want to be remembered for something when I'm gone, and killing a bear this size, that'll do it. And so he did it for a very selfish human reason.
They're it's a small cast of characters, but it's very intimate. They all work very, you know, closely in the scenes and things that they're in. There's a young, I'm not sure that he's a teenager. I don't know if he's just a young adult. I don't know if he's 18, 19, 20, but there's a young man that they have developed a friendship over time. Tell us a little bit about, make sure I say it right.
Wyra Suap. That was an interesting dynamic to build, because unlike most books, Western or Mountain Men, or most movies, Western or Mountain Men, if you speak slowly and in broken English, you can automatically understand each other. And it really doesn't work that way. And I wanted their friendship to be strong enough to get past the problems of communication. Wyra Suap couldn't speak English, and Ezra only knew about four Shoshone words. So they had a hard time communicating with each other, but they were very, very good friends, and the friendship was worth the trouble. So, you know, a normal conversation might take 2 hours just to get a couple of points across.
Yeah. And they go after that bear, and you just have to go get that book, find out what happens, because it is quite an adventure with some unexpected twists and turns. And we learned that bears, especially a big one like that, are really rank, and you don't want to go there unless you're Wyra Suap and Ezra.
Right. And after they found it, they decided they didn't want to be there either. But, you know, it's neat that there's two different ways you can look at the word rank. Well, three really, but only two apply. One, rank is a really great way of describing something that's mean and vicious. You'll hear that a lot in rodeo. This is a rank bull or a rank horse. Or rank is a really great way, especially in the South, of describing something that smells really rotted and terrible. And this bear qualifies for both. I mean, he's rank, no matter how you want to define it, he's rank.
Yes, he is. Yeah. All right. Now I'm looking at time, and oh my goodness, it's flowing as it always does. So we don't want to miss out on our audience being able to track you both down. So Nick, tell us a little bit about where people can follow what's happening with Dusty Saddle and where they can get the books.
Oh, they can follow us on Facebook, Dusty Saddle Publishing, the website, DS Publishing Network. They can sign up to our mailer. They can find us just about anywhere. And the books are all on Amazon. And, of course, anybody who'd like to try one for free just has to email my assistant, Abigail, at info@dspublishingnetwork.com, and we'll mail copies out to them. We're so proud of these products that we'll give them away. It's all about spreading the good story.
I love getting a box. I love getting a box. I'm not expecting. Thank you for that. Jeff, what are you working on next?
Nick assures me that the third Ezra Whitehall book is coming out. And
what's that one, Jeff? The third one? I don't know if I've heard of that one yet.
Yeah. the third yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, we lost that book. Where is it? the third book is coming. It's called Fields of Peace and Blood. It's a much different story for Ezra than the first two, but it's no less intense. And I'm about a week away from giving Nick the fourth in the Ezra series. It'll be called Dragon of the Mountains. And we'll see what happens after that. I hope he's going to let me do a fifth or possibly a sixth book in this series. We'll see how that goes.
I don't know, Jeff. There's a big project we're going to announce about you in about 3 weeks. And it's I was just tying up the details on it, and now this big project's going to be announced. And so, Jeff, you can wait in anticipation because it's going to be a big one.
Okay. All right.
Well, Jim, you have a quote. A quote. Jim has a quote about those wolves.
Wolves. Set this up. Tom Horn is studying the people of Cheyenne from his hotel window. And he's thinking, the street was crawling with the types you wouldn't allow anywhere near your sister, let alone turn your back to. But two men in particular caught his attention and held it. They looked like hungry animals with something to eat in sight. Not animals like puppies with sad eyes and wagging tails, watching as you carry a plateful of meat away from the ham you were carving in the smokehouse. These were watching and setting their prey like wolves. You didn't feel sorry for them when you looked into their eyes. You felt fear and dread. They were sizing up everyone they saw, deciding which would be the easiest targets. Now, whether or not these two had anything to do at all with the situation Sam had pulled him into, Tom had no idea, but these were definitely the types he was looking for.
And they're just, your description of those, you can just see them so clearly. I love that passage.
Yeah, we like that passage.
We like that passage. Well, thank you for joining us for episode 184. You can catch the replay of this video on the Rendezvous with a Writer or LA Talk Radio Facebook pages and YouTube on LA Talk Radio. Catch the audio later this evening on Podbean and all the major podcast platforms. We have a few thank yous. Thank you to LA Talk Radio's founder, our engineer, and tonight our DJ, Sam Hassan, who makes everything work so smoothly. I want to thank our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, and our musicians, Hot Texas Swing Band, John Chandler and Jim Jones. Thank you, special guests, Nick Whale and Jeff Crawford. Next week, you want to come back again. Next week, we have a very interesting guest. This is a new novel by James Grady. You may remember James Grady. He is the author of 6 Days of the Condor. And he has published a number of books since that one. This is a noir thriller. We're very anxious to get these pages turning as we prepare for our time with James next week. And we were just talking about a couple other Dusty Saddle Publishing authors. You may want to mark your calendars. We have... with us July 23rd, we'll hold up his book again. Alfred Wallen will be with us. I think, is he joining us from Germany? Nick,
Oh, yes, he is. He is
from
indeed.
Germany.
Oh, yes, you'll be talking to him.
So it'll be early his time, but he will be with us.
Oh,
And
yeah.
we're
Well,
so grateful
he's an
for our
all-night salesman
international guests.
anyway.
Yeah, we're so grateful our international guests that deal with the time zones. And then September 10th, we will be hosting Lane R. Warren Warninsky. Did I say that right?
Oh,
Warninsky?
Warinsky. Yeah,
Warninsky.
big seller.
Yeah, so we have a number of his books, and they're all have just been really great reads, as we expect them to be. He'll be with
You
us
have the
September
latest.
10th. Yeah.
You
And
have the latest one.
okay, yeah, you just sent us that one. So
All right,
yeah,
good.
thank you.
Good,
Thank
very
you.
good.
Do you have a last minute comment?
Again, we want to thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. And as
It's
we
always
always
good.
say, it's always a great day. Out west.
Happy anniversary. Keep riding.
And we'll keep reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Good night, gentlemen. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you, Nick.